Have you ever given anything away? Show of hands, who's given something away? Okay, all right. I've given stuff away too. And so have you ever asked yourself this particular question? Why did I give it away? Was it because maybe you had a certain motive attached to that? What if that motive was, I don't know, what do you think? Financial gain? Is that a good motive? You know, you get money for it. How about you just wanted to free up some space in your garage or in your basement? And so those are good reasons to give things away, but the question is just doing financial gain or just freeing up space as the motive? Or do you think that maybe if we were giving things away, the motivation should be out of a heart of charity or out of a heart of love? That might be a good motive for us to have. So the question now is it possible for an individual to love, or let me say it this way, is it possible for a person to give without loving? Yes, a person can give anything away without loving anyone. They can give it away. So can a person love, completely love, without giving? Absolutely not. Because as we're going to be seeing, is that you cannot love without giving something, obviously. You can't say that I love God and not give to God. It's just, you just can't say that. Because as we're going to see God, He loved, but He did something. He gave. So what does it mean? What does it mean? It means giving of your time, giving of your talent, and giving of your resources. Those are some of the things that maybe we should give out of a motivation and a heart of love. So if all that we do is give of our talents, for example, if we give of the spiritual gifts that God has given us, now some of us have natural talents and abilities, we could use those as well, but if all we do is use the talents that we're given, you have actually turned aside from love, if that's all that you do. Because as we're going to see, is that ministry is going to need a proper balance. We have to properly balance out ministry. So if you are using just one of these three things, whether it be your time, whether it be your talent, or whether it be your resources, you are out of balance if all you do is utilize one of those things. There's no balance attached to that. Because charity is obviously the key to ministry regarding the whole truth. The whole truth involves teaching and doctrine. The whole truth involves charity, love. God loves no one apart from Jesus Christ. First verse on the screen there is Romans 5:8. But God commendeth, God showed His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God sent Jesus Christ to the earth. God became a man, wrapped Himself in human flesh. He did something. He loved us, so He gave something. He showed His love. How did He show us that love? He sent Jesus Christ. But without Christ, we would all live in God's wrath. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So God loved us enough that He stepped out of the splendor of heaven, He wrapped Himself in human flesh, and He came down to the earth so that we could be set free from our sins forever. Do you think that's love? I think that's love. That's love. God did something. He loved and He did something about it. So here is the bottom line for today. If you don't get anything, I want you to get this statement. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So what are we talking about? Again, we're talking about the whole truth about ministry, and today is about charity. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we're going to read verses 5 through 7. The Bible says, "And now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So point number one, you should have it right there in your notes, is that truth given in love is essential for ministry. Verse number five, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. So where does the desire to ministry, to do ministry, comes from? It comes out of a heart of love. And so understand that Jesus Christ has saved us, and we naturally want other people to see that exact same truth. I hope that you want that for other people, especially if you've been born again. I hope that that's something that is a desire that you have. So why is this? Because we've been given love, and we should care enough about people to start doing something about it. God knew that we couldn't save ourselves, obviously. But he sent his son, like I said before, because love always expresses itself in action. And that's one of your key phrases. Love is always expressing itself in action. John 3, 16, most of us can quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God knew that we couldn't do it ourselves. He loved us enough, and he came and died on the cross. He stepped out of heaven. He got a little uncomfortable, because sometimes when we have to love in certain ways, it makes us a little uncomfortable. We have to get outside of our comfort zone in order to do that. But he did something about it. The end of the commandment is charity. And to completely understand this, we have to teach and do all of our teaching in love. Paul loved Timothy. You know, we have a book that has Timothy's name on it. You know, obviously Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he wrote this. But do you think that Paul loved Timothy? He loved him enough to give him some instructions in how to be an effective pastor, how to lead an effective congregation, how to be an effective leader. He loved him enough to do something about it. And so, you know, he wanted Timothy to be the best that he could. So hold your place right here in Timothy and flip with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And as you're turning there, just understand that this idea, this deal with spiritual growth and development is key to how ministry gets accomplished here at Connect Church and obviously many other churches as well. But if you turn away from love, then your biblical spiritual growth is going to come to a stop, obviously. So ministry has to be balanced in order to be effective. If you look at in the chapter right before that, in chapter number 12, in the last few verses of that, starting in verse number 28, it says, "And God hath set some," this is 1 Corinthians 12, 28, "God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And that leads us right into chapter number 13. So we have a list of gifts, okay? And just by the way, just so you know, that the Bible doesn't give you an all-inclusive list of spiritual gifts, okay? In multiple different places, you are not going to get one all-inclusive list that says, this is just all the spiritual gifts. God lays it out that way, and I believe there's a reason for doing it like that. But there's not one single gift that is more important than another. And obviously that's one of the reasons why God didn't lay it out that way, because he's not emphasizing necessarily the gift, okay? It's not about just having that one gift. This gift is not more needed than another one. And I think we get messed up in churches a lot of times when we start thinking that one particular type of spiritual gift is more important than another. And that's just simply not the case. But it takes more than one gift to have an effective ministry. And that's kind of the point. So if we move away from love, if we move away from that and we start thinking that certain gifts are better, what profit is that? There is none. So what is this more excellent way that Paul's talking about? It's charity. The more excellent way is love. It's more than just the gift. You have to do it in love. And glance back, if you look at chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, it just says at the end of the commandment in verse 5 is charity. And that charity comes out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. So it comes out of this, and you get these three things, okay? So 1 Corinthians 13 is helping to see how to keep ministry balanced, because we need balance in ministry in order to be effective. So what does it take to make a perfect balance? Does anybody want to take a stab and say, what does it take to make a perfect balance? Well, let me give you this illustration, because it takes three to make a perfect balance, okay? So if you were to take a board and you lay it across here, maybe 10-foot board, and let's say you take two individuals that weigh different, that weigh different amounts. You put one person over here, you put one person over here, and this person starts jumping up and down. What happens? Really nothing. This person can jump up and down. What happens? Not a whole lot. You can add 400 more pounds over here, 600 more pounds over here, and it really doesn't matter, because it's on the ground, it's laying flat, and you're just laying stuff on top of it, and it's just kind of there, right? What happens if you take something and you put it in between, in the middle of that board, and you put that board on top of it? Then what happens? Well, now the weights start doing this number, right? So you put something heavy on this side, it goes this way. You put something heavy on this side, it goes this way. And so how do you know when you're out of balance? When you become too weighty on this side versus this side. And then at that point, you know that things aren't balancing out properly. Does that make sense? So the only way to have a perfect balance is you have to have side over here, but you have to have that foundation in the middle that's going to keep that in a perfect balance. And I want us to look at that. So the first thing I want you to see is out of a pure heart. You must have a pure heart for loving people. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So if your heart is pure, what are you going to have? You're going to have a heart of charity, a heart of love. You'll be kind. You're not going to envy someone else's spiritual gift, right? You know, sometimes we want to desire certain gifts, which that's fine, but we don't want to envy certain gifts, because some of us are better at other things, and God has set it up that way for the church's benefit. And so we're not going to envy someone else's gift. So if we start envying the side of the gift and we start focusing just on the gift, then what do we get? And we start focusing on the love and the gift and all that stuff. That's all of the warm and fuzzies that we get out of love. But if you get on the wrong side of charity and you start feeling that way and you start acting that way, all warm and fuzzy and all that kind of stuff or whatever, then what you've done is that you're out of balance. And so then what happens is that if you envy someone else's gift, then you may, what I have coined the term, you try to outgift somebody. So you got two people that have the gift of, let's say, the gift of teaching. But you think that this person is way better at it than you are. So then what do? Which I've seen it done this way before. You have one guy gets up and says one thing, and then you have the other guy gets up and he tries to out-preach the other guy, you know. And so we've got on the wrong side of love, because now we've started to envy other people's gifts. And God doesn't want us to do that. And the second one there is of a good conscience. Is that you must have a good conscience for teaching people. Look at verse number 5, 1 Corinthians 13. Love doth not behave itself, charity, unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. So if you exercise a good conscience, you're not going to seek solely after your own agenda. You're not just going to teach whatever you want to teach because that's just what you want to teach. You're not going to follow after that type of agenda. Matthew 12, 34 just says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mouth speaketh. So what's in your heart? Because the things that are in your heart are going to start coming out. Because when you get on the wrong side of love, what do you think is going to happen when you start just wanting to teach certain things because that's what you're passionate about on the inside? What do you think might take place? Just think about that. I think that there's some dangers, because what can happen is that some people are excellent communicators of teaching Bible doctrine. They're excellent communicators of teaching the deep truths of God's Word. But what happens is that if you do it out of a heart of pride and not out of a heart of love, then what happens is that every time they open their mouths, they're really difficult and really hard to listen to. You really don't want to hear what they have to say because it sounds very hard and harsh. But that's the things that happen when we get on the wrong side of love. We need to stay balanced. And then thirdly, we have this genuine faith. This is the key to balancing out this whole thing. You must have a genuine faith for leading people. If you look at verse number 7, 1 Corinthians 13. Charity beareth all things, it believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So the only way that we can have a genuine faith is obviously because Jesus Christ shed His blood and He purged our sins. Therefore, we can love all things, we can bear all things, we can hope all things, and we can obviously endure all things. So when our faith is genuine, what is the natural byproduct of genuine faith? Charity, love. When our faith is genuine, that's the stuff that naturally comes out. Because, let me ask you this, do you want your pastors, or our pastor, do you want our pastor and our church to be genuine? Absolutely. Have you ever heard it said, you know, I don't really want to, this church down the street over here, they're not genuine. Because all they talk about is just money. All they talk about at this other church is just this. All they do over here is just talk about how horrible everything is all the time. You've got to strike a proper balance, and it's important, because when you get on the wrong side of love, you are not going to have a genuine faith. You have to have a genuine faith. That's the only way to keep things in balance. Don't forget this either, that at the moment of your salvation, what did God give you? God gave you His Spirit. God indwells you if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and He has become the Lord and Savior of your lives because you said, I cannot save myself. Will you please forgive me of my sins? I will trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come into my heart. He gives us a Spirit. And I hope that means something to you, because with that, along with Him giving you His Spirit, He also gives you the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it should be on the screen. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We have to speak truth in love, because truth given in love is absolutely essential to ministry. Truth given in love is essential to ministry. So this is leading us into point number two. You should have it in your notes. And it's on the screen too if you need to see it. But love replacing truth leads to empty ministry. Glance back at 1 Timothy chapter 6 for just a moment. It says there, from which some, having swerved, what have they swerved from? They're swerving from love, have turned aside unto vain jangling. So what happens when you swerve away from love? I think that's important for us to explore for just a moment, is that when you swerve away from love, what happens? Well, ministry becomes completely meaningless. Okay? So don't allow ministry to become empty. How are we going to combat this? Well, we can see, obviously, that talking about pride, what does pride produce? Well, obviously, pride's going to produce vanity. Okay, emptiness. Pride's going to produce an empty ministry. Look back at, it should be there in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Paul's writing this to a very carnal church, okay? They were really messed up. They had a lot of issues and problems. And he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So Paul is saying, if I speak with the words of all these languages, which, by the way, he kind of had the ability, even if he talked like angels. But if he does all of that stuff without love, if he does all these amazing things without love, if he does miracles and all these things without exercising love, is it profitable? No, it's as if sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It is meaningless. This is a slope to ministry of vain jangling. And so, what do you think that the wisest man in all of the Bible, what do you think he had to say about knowledge and about those types of things or whatever? So, this should be in your notes as well. Intellectual head knowledge produces empty ministry. Intellectual head knowledge produces an empty or vain ministry. It's on the screen, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And I, this is Solomon, says, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. He that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Is knowledge just in general a bad thing?
No. I think it might come split on. So, anyway, is knowledge in and of itself a bad thing? Absolutely not. It's not a bad thing. But if all you have is knowledge, in our case, just Bible knowledge, then what you've done is that you have swerved into an empty ministry where no one will care because you have no charity. No one's going to care what you're doing. No one's going to care what you say. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so there are two parts that we're going to be looking at. And so one thing that I really want you to see here is that there is a book in 2 John, and we'll look at that verse here in just a second. But last week, I do want to mention this. It's kind of what we were talking about last week. Last week, we talked about the true side of things and how important that is. But we have to understand that just when we talk about doctrine and we just talk about the truth and how great that is, but there are lots of pastors out there that are being pressured into teaching things that are kind of what you're really looking at is that they're accepting sin, and they're doing this in the name of love and unity. We don't need to hate. That's what they say. They'll say, we don't need to hate on anybody. Well, this is what I say. And again, what I'm saying is based on what I know of God's Word, the Bible, is that maybe I should hate what God hates. What do you think God hates? God hates sin. That's what God hates. He doesn't hate the person. He hates sin. That's what God doesn't like, is sin. And so they're not taking a stand on God's Word, and we need to take a stand on truth and not give up for the sake of love and unity. In the book of 2 John, there's a lady here that loves people so much that she was willing to compromise biblical truth for the sake of love and unity. Look at verse number 10 and 11 of 2 John. It's on the screen. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So in other words, if you accept this false doctrine, it's basically saying is that you're no better than them that are committing these things. And if you are accepting these things, then you're basically, what you're doing is that you're being a partaker of the same evil deeds. And that's not something that I would come up with to say, because I just wouldn't say it that way. But God is saying that. He's saying, don't bid them Godspeed, which is to say, you know, God bless you. You know, is God blessing the sin of these people? Absolutely not. He's just not going to do that. And so, we're not going to talk about all of that stuff. I think James is going to be talking about some of these sins in weeks to come and getting into some of that stuff or whatever. But I think it's vitally important that we understand those things. So you may be sitting here and you may be wondering, when it comes to knowledge and some of the things that we've been talking about, what are some of the egregious teachings that are out there that are causing people to swerve away from love? Well, number three, desiring to teach the deep doctrine confuses ministry. And one thing that I want to point out to you before we go into this, whatever, that you have to keep in mind is that you have to know that we ourselves are not necessarily without fault, because there are branches of some of these things that fit into, you know, the Baptist church and all of that. So we have to take note of this, that we have to be careful with these things on our own. Verse number 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And again, we're going to be talking about deep doctrines confusing ministry. People really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. There are theological systems out there that have gotten the attention of a lot of people, especially a lot of the youth and a lot of the young people in this country. And you know what the truth of the matter is that it really is, it's an intoxicating system, because it's based on intellectual understanding. And so they kind of put this under an umbrella, especially in the college and the seminaries of this theological college experience, and they're doing these things. So what do they do? They are priding themselves into digging into the scriptures to dissect it so that you can better understand everything about life. They're digging into it, and then they're saying that they're only discovering that, you know what, your life has already been determined for you. And you know what? You really don't have a whole lot of choices, but praise God anyway. That's the system. So a lot of the stuff that gets taught today, it kind of makes sense if you don't really think about it. This system is called Reformed Theology, and it sounds like a system that is positive and good, because it's kind of a big word, Reformed Theology. We like the word, you know. But another name that you may be familiar with that's the same system is Calvinism. I don't know if you've heard that before, and if you want to know more about that, you can come see me or James or whatever after the service, because we're not going to get into that today. But they are so far in the weeds into the deep, deep doctrines and the deep, deep teachings that they don't understand what they are saying or what they are affirming. They're trying to maintain that everything they teach is biblically based and biblically true and sound. But when you really understand what they're talking about, you know, some of this, it kind of makes sense if you really don't think about it. If you really start thinking about it, you go, what in the world are they talking about? So in the upcoming verses in our text, we're going to be also talking about some of the law, because the law was obviously given for the knowledge of sin. But these teachers are so deep into God's law, the Bible, okay, that they can't see the forest for the trees, because they're lost in this intellect and all of the things that are going on with it. So what do they do? Well, again, don't forget that this is directly applicable to you and I, because if we're not careful, a lot of these things will happen and take place in our lives. Okay? Because there are branches of this in the Baptist church as well. Okay? So we're not apart from this. So just know that up front for sure. But they have become so smart, and even some of the churches that we've probably heard before, they think that they're so smart, and they redefine words so that you can understand it. It's the idea of saying, or maybe the person standing on stage saying that, you know, let me tell you what this means. I know the Bible says this, but it really doesn't mean that. It means something a little different, you know. And the reason why I can say this is because I know, because I studied the Greek and the Hebrew, and I know a little bit more than you know. That happens all the time. You know, I don't read Greek or Hebrew. I read English, okay? And I think God has provided enough for me in the English Bible. And so we've got to be careful of those things or whatever. A lot of people, they'll wow you with big words and all kinds of stuff. But let's not forget what Paul wrote to Timothy and what God is instructing and telling us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding even what they say in the world they have learned. So let's just take a bigger look for us right here and kind of see in a setting that really hits closer to home for just a moment. We do take a strong stance on the authority of God's Word. And I hope that you know that just from being here, is that God's Word is authority. It's not a matter of what anybody is saying. It's a matter of what is God communicating to us. And, you know, here's the thing. We're not going to compromise on that. Okay? We're not compromising the truth. But if all we do is just hang out there, we have a mission statement in this church. It's connecting people to Jesus, His message, and His mission. And I would encourage every single one of you in here that identify that Connect Church is my home, memorize that statement. Because if somebody asks you, what is your church about? We're about connecting people to Jesus, evangelism, salvation, connecting to His mission, His message, discipleship, and spiritual growth and development, and connecting to His mission, which is taking the gospel to the world. That's what we are concerned about. But if all we do is hang out in that, then our very own mission statement becomes just words on a page. You know what? That's kind of a big deal. I think that's a big deal. We have to get this right. We have to get on the right side of love. So how does it look in our setting when we just focus on just Bible teaching? Well, we have a tendency to say, you know what, I'm going to teach this deep truth because you know what, it's really cool. I really like it. I really enjoy it. It's really awesome. You know what, it's intoxicating. And you know what, as somebody who has been there, it is. Because it's cool when you want to share all this stuff with all these people. And we like to do that. But when we do that, we lose focus on the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Because if we just sit here and just try to teach doctrinal truth, we forget about going and doing anything. We've got to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even in the world. Amen. We lose focus on the Great Commission when we just focus on one side of it. We also lose focus on the mission as well, Acts 1:8, because we have a responsibility to go to Jerusalem, which is here, Judea, which is, you know, North America, and Samaria, which is south of us, and South America, and another continent down there, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We've got to go across the sea. We start losing focus on those things when we just want to sit here in this room and teach deep, deep, deep truth, because it becomes more about what we know, not about what we're doing. We might have a tendency to say, you know, I'm not too interested in evangelism because that's not my spiritual gift. Evangelism's not my spiritual gift. That's not where my gifting lies. You know what? That may be true. And in fact, in a lot of cases, for a lot of us, that is true. That's not our spiritual gift. But look at what Paul says. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Timothy probably wasn't an evangelist. He was probably more of a Bible teacher. But Paul's telling him, you know what, you may be good at this, but you need to do the work of an evangelist to have an effective ministry. Evangelism may not be your spiritual gift, but do you think that you still have evangelistic responsibility? Yes, we have evangelistic responsibility. Sometimes we have a tendency to want to puff ourselves up in maybe a church like this, I don't know, you know, another place or whatever. So we've got to be careful with this. We want to do this. Look what said in Matthew 23, verse number 5 through 7. "But all their works," this is talking about the Pharisees, All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, which is binding scriptures on their arms and their foreheads, and enlarge their borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the market, so to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They want to be seen. So if we as a church take this stance, all that we care about all of a sudden becomes being seen of men so that people think that we're awesome and cool. That's what happens. We've got to keep that in check. Here's the deal. If that's really the position that we're going to take, which, by the way, we're not taking that position, but if that's what we do, we should just all rise to our feet, pack up all of our stuff, and head to the house. If that's all that we're going to be concerned with. Because it's meaningless. It's empty. It's vanity. It's an empty ministry if all we think about is just doing this one thing. It's not profitable. We have to get it right. And if we just want to teach people doctrine, and that's all we want to do, then you know what? We've kind of missed the whole point of what ministry is all about. If we're not interested in spending time with people, we've missed the point of what ministry is all about. So what's ministry all about? It's about serving God and loving people. And how do we balance that out? Word of God. Ministry, serving God, loving people. Our bottom line. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Do you love and care about people? And you may be sitting here and you say, yeah, I love and care about people. Here's the deal. If you love and care about people, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go out here at some point, whether through a personal conversation with a co-worker or whoever they be, and you're going to say, you know what? I've known you for a long time. Who do you think Jesus is? Bob says, God. He came into the earth with a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, rose again the third day, and he's on the way to heaven. Will you put your faith and trust in that? If you love people, you're going to share that message with you today. And we haven't talked a whole lot about salvation today. But just know that he did live, die, and rose again the third day. And according to the word of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. If you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and say, you know what, I know that I'm a sinner, because I've sinned in my life. I cannot save myself because death is required for the payment of sin. And I'm going to put all of what I have, my faith and trust, in the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for me on the cross. That's biblical salvation. If you haven't made that decision today, I encourage you to consider it. Because it's the best decision you'll ever make. We've got to start focusing on relationships and caring for people that we lead. So how do we do this in Connect Church? Well, we do this in a couple ways, but one way that's very familiar is we do our life groups on Sunday morning before the main service at 9:45. We have our life groups. What do? We get together, we talk about life, we talk about the week, we talk about what we're reading, we talk about what's going on, we do prayer requests, and we pray for each other, all of those things. Because we're trying to encourage people and build relationships. We also do this by gathering outside of the church. We have called them Connect Four. But we get to know people. We get to fellowship with people. And we get to become friends with people. But one of the best ways to get to know people and to get engaged is to serve. We have opportunities right here at the church for you to come and serve. We just started a new campaign. It's called Just Ask. You can come and you can stand beside somebody. And then if somebody says no, or somebody says something rude that you don't like, that person standing right beside you, and guess what they just heard? they heard that conflict go on. And you know what? I know what you're feeling because I felt it too. You know how you build a strong bond? Get in the trench with somebody and go through some things with somebody. And I can promise you, you're going to build a strong bond that individual. That's the way it happens. And that's why it happens so effectively with war veterans that are so close after war, because that guy took care of him, and then this guy took care of me while I was going through my conflict. That's a great way. So that's kind of how we do it at Connect Church. And just know that this also is it's kind of a two-way street too. We put these programs in place to help us connect corporately, but we each have a responsibility to get involved and work our way into Connect too. So it is a two-way street. In closing, this is where I want to go. We've got some questions there. And the first one is, has there been some unloving hardness in your life? Have you had an uncaring attitude in your heart at any point for the people around you? Listen, I'm going to straight up admit it. I have. I've been there. Because I had a tendency to want to hammer biblical truth to an individual. Because maybe I was out of balance. I didn't understand the balance. And it does come with spiritual growth and development. But if you hammer Bible truth, what happens to that individual? They start to choke on God's word. They start choking on what you're saying, and they reject everything that you're telling them. You have to do it out of a heart of love. The last verse we'll see, Hebrews 5:14. The strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, and in context, we talk about the word of God. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Babies can't escape. And if you know one that can, I would like to talk. But seriously, babies can't escape. Because they're not full age. Babies need milk. What is milk? It is food reduced to a product that they can comfortably digest. And if you love your children, love the people around you, love the disciple, love the person that you're discipling, or whatever the situation may be. If you love them, then you're not going to feed them something that they can't handle. Because what profit is that? There is no profit in that. Ask yourself this: have you examined your heart lately to see if you have true balance in your life? Do you need to purify your heart? Do you need to have a good conscience? Do you need to allow God to give you a genuine faith? Do you have those three things? Balance the things out there? Just ask God this question. Ask God to give you a fruitful and effective ministry. Ask God to give that to you. Ask God to help you balance out these two things, the truth of God's word and the love of God's word, and to balance that out by searching the scriptures every single day, reading and studying and growing so that you can teach the truth and you can do it in love. We need to have that pure heart for loving people, good conscience for teaching people, and genuine faith for leading. We've got to have that. And as a local church in our community, do you think that we need to keep things in balance? I think we do. Teach the whole truth. The whole truth in ministry, or the whole truth about ministry, is doctrine, truth, and it's love. I encourage you today to get into God's word. Love what God loves, hate what God hates, but when we go and communicate these messages to people, let's ask Him to give us a heart that can effectively do it with an attitude of love, because it's not about us, it's about Him. And people don't care about how much you love, it's only know how much you love and how much you care about Him. And I hope that you'll make that decision today to care and love the people.